Now, the English papers, folks, we have been hearing some bonkers mornings for England recently, but really today, I mean, the Guardian calls it chaos, I think. Anyway, the Telegraph, Liz Truss clings to power after axing Kwarteng. The Times, Truss fights for survival. The FT Weekend, Truss sacks Kwarteng in bid to save premiership. Robert Shrimsley has his front page sketch underneath that, saying, and the headline is, "The one thing uniting her party is a lack of trust in Truss." And The Guardian, as I say, a day of chaos. The immortal words of Liz Truss last week, remember? She definitely could have prepared the ground better, couldn't she? So look, to talk to me about this day of chaos, on the line is Louise Cooper, Senior Lecturer in Finance at Kingston University Business School, and Lucy Fisher, who is Chief Political Commentator at Times Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lucy, will we start with you? Will Liz Truss survive?
Well, increasingly few members of her party think so. I've spoken to a number of Tory MPs in the last 24 hours who all seem agreed on one thing, that this is the beginning of the end of her premiership. She is in office but not in power. The key question now is just how long she can hold on for. Some think she won't even make it till October the 31st, when she and her new Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, are due to put forward this medium-term fiscal plan. Others think she's got until Christmas, and a few more optimistic MPs think she could just about cling on until the local elections next May, see how she does then.
Okay, so if we just break down a few of the things you've said there. First on Jeremy Hunt, he's now been described, I note, as a chief executive and Liz Truss as the chairperson. Is he de facto in charge now?
Well, in a word, yes, I think he is, because she is so fragile in her leadership that she cannot risk him resigning. That would precipitate the downfall of her administration. So if you look at it that way, anything he asks for, any demand he makes, she will have to prosecute. It really does feel like he is in charge here. But even still, there are some MPs who think that that isn't enough to have a sort of informal arrangement by which he's in charge. They think it is likely that he will become a caretaker prime minister by Christmas if the mechanism can be found among the increasingly unhappy MPs to try and force Liz Truss out.
So in terms of the mechanism then, well, first there's the bigger picture of it is that, I mean, it looks really bad for them to get rid of another PM and another leader now, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I've not come across anyone who denies that. But in the face of the kind of electoral rout that the party is now facing at the next general election, according to all the polls, some of which are putting Labour on a 30-point plus lead ahead of the Conservatives, you know, a bigger lead than any party has ever had in the last quarter of a century of modern polling. Even still, I think Tory MPs are thinking it's now about damage limitation, trying to minimise the defeat at the next election so it doesn't leave the party out of power for another decade or more. Another MP described it to me as, "We'd rather be a joke than dead," as in, you know, they'd rather be on their third prime minister this year than stick with Liz Truss and face a certain landslide defeat at the next election.
In
but
terms
as to
of
the
mechanism,
that is still a bit unclear, because as you will know, the rules of the Conservative Party are that they can't formally call a confidence vote within the first 12 months of Liz Truss or a new leader coming to power. That said, there is still a lot of talk of trying to give letters into Sir Graham Brady, the chairman of the 1922 committee, and perhaps trying to persuade him to go to Downing Street with the proverbial brandy and revolver and telling Liz Truss she cannot command the confidence of her party and needs to go.
OK, and I was reading in the Mail last night about a Poppadom plot that was Curry delivered, I think, to a load of Rishi Sunak supporters who were plotting late into the night. What are the various plots now, or who is plotting and how much plotting is going on?
Well, there is an enormous amount of plotting in the corridors of Westminster.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel to me earlier this week that anything had really coalesced in a formal way. There was no formal sort of unity candidate to take over from her in the minds of the rebels. And I think that's probably one of the things at the beginning of the week you'd have thought might have helped Liz Truss with a stay of execution. Having now appointed Jeremy Hunt, it feels that he is someone people could line up behind to become this caretaker prime minister. But yes, there's lots of different plotting. Grant Shapps is definitely seen as a centre of the resistance. He's keeping a very detailed spreadsheet of all the views of the MPs he's canvassing to try and build up a database of evidence to show that MPs do not support Liz Truss. And it feels like that could be very important in any move to try and persuade her that she needs to go willingly.
It's very, very modern coups, spreadsheets and WhatsApp groups as well, I suppose. So listen, this could be wishful thinking from this side of the sea. But if Jeremy Hunt is going to become the PM potentially, does this mean the end of that kind of ascendancy of the right wing slash ERG slash Brexiteer end of the Tories? And are the reasonable one nation Tories kind of back in the ascendant?
Well, I think that is broadly right to say that Jeremy Hunt is from that wing of the party. I still think there is a battle to be had for the soul of the party. Certainly, it's you've sort of highlighted another front on which Liz Truss will now be fighting, which is with the right flank of the party that put her in Downing Street, who will now increasingly be talking up a betrayal narrative. I don't think
so. She has lost her own supporters
as well.
Dead and
done for permanently, but it certainly feels that they are out of fashion. The sort of free market libertarian wing of the party, and the vision that Liz Truss put forward in the Tory leadership this summer, that isn't going to be implemented anytime soon. What we've heard from Jeremy Hunt, even in the past couple of hours as he's been on the airwaves, is actually we are going to see tax rises coming. We are going to see spending cut, and that vision that Liz Truss set out this summer is all but dead.
Jeremy Hunt sounded a bit like Rishi Sunak in the debates, the way he was talking, didn't he?
Well, he did, and that leads to a question that a lot of MPs are asking, which is, what is the point of Liz Truss remaining in charge? She cannot now implement the policy agenda which she set out. And there's something perverse about her presiding over, essentially, putting into practice the policies that Rishi Sunak set out this summer. So I think what we're going to hear in the days ahead, certainly this is already happening from the opposition, is questions about her mandate. She's not putting into play the policies of Boris Johnson, which were put to the country back with the manifesto in 2019. She's not even putting into play her own policies that she put to the party membership this summer. So I think that that drumbeat of calls for a general election to legitimise the mandate are only going to grow, including from people inside her own party, as well as from Labour and the Lib Dems.
Lucy, is chaos a fair word on the front of the Guardian today? It does feel like chaos, does it?
Brennan, yes, chaos is absolutely the watchword, and it doesn't feel like it's going to stop anytime soon.
What happens next week, do you think?
Well, I think we need to likely hear a bit more detail from Jeremy Hunt on the fiscal plans. I don't think it's plausible that the government can leave a 2-week gap now before Halloween and setting out the plan formally. I think that the markets need to hear more from him about spending cuts or tax rises in order to settle investor confidence and avoid seeing even further rises in gilt yields as we were seeing yesterday afternoon after Liz Truss made her speech. So I think reassuring the markets will be the number one task in his intray.
Okay, Lucy Fisher, thank you. And on that reassuring the markets, I'll bring you in, Louise Cooper, lecturer at the Kingston University School of Business. So Liz Truss changed the chancellor, made some policy U-turns. How was it received by the markets?
So what had happened is the government borrowing market, that gilt market, had rallied, had gone up very strongly on Thursday, because what was clearly coming out of 10 Downing Street, even though the Chancellor didn't realise it, stuck in Washington, but what was clearly coming out in Downing Street is, we're going to U-turn. And rather embarrassingly, the Chancellor said he was not going to U-turn in Washington. Clearly, that wasn't what Prime Minister was saying. So the markets rallied on that. And then Friday, she came out, she did this speech, and the market was like, well, one, you haven't U-turned enough. Two, you fired him. But the fundamental problem is lack of credibility in the Prime Minister. So this morning, Jeremy Hunt was on the Today programme on Radio 4. And he said two things that were supposed red lines for Liz Truss. So he's talking about spending cuts. Well, Liz Truss famously said earlier this week, no spending cuts, to the astonishment of the House of Commons. And then he also said taxes will need to go up, which is the exact opposite of sort of Trussonomics, right?
Yeah. And so
it's all very well for the political experts to say, oh, it doesn't matter. She's just there as a caretaker. He's really in charge. I'm sorry, but we've got to, as a country, we've got to borrow tens of billions, if not more, given the cost of the energy price cap, if not up to 100 billion. And markets don't want a caretaker prime minister who only got in because of the 180,000 members. She didn't, her MPs didn't support her. And the very person that at the beginning everybody thought was going to get the job, Rishi Sunak, was the one that warned exactly this was going to happen.
So I'm afraid
it doesn't really help.
Yeah, okay.
Go on.
So did Jeremy Hunt manage to settle people at all this morning? He's certainly sounding very kind of calming and reasonable and everything.
So the good news is he is fiscally responsible. So the message he is giving out today is not spend, 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 spend. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? He is saying there are difficult decisions ahead. Not quite austerity is back, but we've got to balance the books. Now, Kuerteng and Truss sort of eventually said that, but by the time they didn't say that was kind of done the double problem. So if you look at if we look at the key markets, so first of all, yesterday morning, after all the UK assets rallied, right? Yesterday morning, the pound bought about $1.11. By the end of the day, if you look at Friday morning, at the beginning of the day, the pound bought $1.13. By the end of the day, the pound had fallen to only buy $1.11. If you look at the government borrowing costs, the 10-year gilt, at the beginning of the day, it was costing the government something like, 3.9% to borrow. By the end of the day, it got up back to sort of 4.3%, which is very close to the levels where the Bank of England had to come in and support the markets because it was getting so ugly. So the pound isn't quite at the really collapsed levels, but the government debt market, the government borrowing costs are getting very, very close to the levels where the Bank of England felt it had to come in and support the market. So the message from the markets, even after we knew it was Jeremy Hunt, even after the markets knew the Chancellor was going to go, even after the markets knew there was a little bit of a U-turn, the message of the markets was it's not enough. They've damaged credibility so much, the governments are looking for more austerity than Sunak was promising, because Sunak has people have confidence in him. That's the problem. They've destroyed confidence in the UK that's been built up over decades.
And is there anything they can do to roll back from this, Louise, in your opinion?
So the key test will be Monday. OK, so the key test is going to be next week.
Yeah.
I imagine Jeremy Hunt is going to be wheeled out on all of the political talk shows tomorrow to try to calm markets. But the key test is going to be, what does Sterling do? But far, far, far more important, what happens to government borrowing costs next week? Because if I was a trader, I would be betting that many other people are still extremely cautious of lending to the UK, because Truss is still in place. And as we've just heard, the Chancellor, very sensible though he is, there's been a lot of damage done to the UK's reputation.
Okay. I think all the time of Janan Ganesh wrote 5 years ago now, he said by the time the real world is finished with populists, that a reputation for dull competence will be like solid gold in politics. Was this a test of, Liz Truss's and giving out about anti-growth coalition and bean counters and their obsession with abacuses and all this kind of thing? Was this a test of that, like, you can't change the rules of finance and everything else, yeah?
So what I would describe the UK at the moment as the canary in the mine. So for 15 years, central banks, European Central Bank, Federal Reserve in America, UK, Bank of England. For 15 years, we've had interest rates at almost zero, literally zero. And the central banks have bought government debt. via quantitative easing. So what's this meant is that politicians can spend. They don't need to worry about taxation. They don't need to worry about huge amounts of debt. Every government, American, European and the UK, has just ballooned their debt. In the UK, we've gone from 500 billion a debt pre the global financial crisis to 2.4 trillion of debt in 15 years.
Louise, I'm under time.
So I just want to say thing. And what politicians, and the UK is the test case, are learning is in a world of higher inflation, in a world of higher interest rates, in a world without quantitative easing, politicians can no longer just spend, because their costs of their debt are going up and the central banks aren't buying their debt. And so this is the canary, and all other politicians need to be taking note.
Oh my God, Louise, I hear what you're saying. This is coming for all of us. Okay, Louise Cooper of Kingston University Business School, Lucy Fisher of Times Radio. Thank you both very much. We'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.